ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Lord who has created in us desires and made for us legal the ways of fulfilling our desires. Ladies and gentlemen, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program of the series of programs of Muslim Family, which is being broadcasted to you from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Call of Islam radio station.
Looking up at the sky, searching for our most high, he rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. Though with stones on his chest, his iman would not rest. The Mu'adhdhin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of the Muslim must be strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another program of Muslim Family. Our program is being broadcasted to you from the Call of Islam radio station. I'm Fatima Shamali, the host of this program, and we will be with Dr. Abbas Ali Shamali as the expert of our program. He holds an MA in Developmental Psychology and a PhD in Culture and Values in Education from McGill University, Canada. He has more than 12 years of experience in counseling affairs and is now a staff member of the International University of Jamiatul Mustafa Al-Alamiya. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Shamli, and welcome to our program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, not only to yourself, but to all brothers and sisters in Islam who are listening to this program.
Thank you very much for always being energetic and lively in our program. Please be with us with our discussion for today.
It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program for today of Muslim Family. If you followed our program last time, you know that we reached the peak of our conversation, but unfortunately we were out of time. We had a very challenging discussion, and we talked about the age of puberty, the age of recognition, and the age of maturity. Today we want to talk about the age of marriage, and inshallah we will also talk about that challenging discussion that we had last time. So, Dr. Shamli, according to Islamic traditions, what is the rightful age of marriage?
I told you that as well as age of puberty, which is both physiological and psychological, there is the matter of need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And at this young, almost young age, which could be the age of 12, which could be the age of 13, and sometimes which could be the age of 15, depending on different individual differences in different people, different persons. Okay? So maybe sometimes it seems to be a bit astonishing or shocking that we talk about the marriage at this very young age,
mm-hmm.
13, 14. This is the responsibility of Muslim families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in chapter Nur, talks about the responsibility of parents. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُغَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Chapter Nur, light, verse number 32. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the parents that you need to be careful, and you are responsible with regard to the boys and girls to get them married when you feel that they are mature enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask me that, Mr. Shamily, how could you talk about marriage at this very young age while they are not understanding the issues and concepts like mutual responsibilities, you know, love, sacrifice. You know, it's not the matter of sexual intercourse, the whole core of
exactly.
marriage. Of course it's not. But this core is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And Islam is looking at all needs in a realistic way. When you talk about realistic way, you need to take care of the needs. Are you ready to disregard the needs for clothes, the need for eating,
no.
the need for accommodation, the need for sexual needs, which begins with the needs of emotions, affections, relations, human relationships? It's a need.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you disregard, you eradicate the question itself, or you go by real way, real approach. And that real approach, you take care. You make an action. And that action is to put something, to invest.
Mm-hmm.
As you invest for the education of your children, as you invest for the health of your children, as you invest for the accommodation of your children, you need to be careful about the sexual need, emotional need, affectional needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a need. If you disregard, they go by corruption. They go by deviation. So it's very interesting that the addressee for the obligation of marriage, it's an obligation. It's a taklif. It's not boys and girls themselves. It's parents.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make an action to take care of. Okay? So, in this way, while we talk about the age of marriage, you may become shocked that, oh, Mr. Shamily, at the age of 13, you're talking about marriage? Yes. They are at junior high school. They're not able to even go by job, to even, you know, go by wage, income, anything, nothing. It's the responsibility of families to take care of the members.
Okay. Can I just come here and clarify something for our listeners? First of all, I have to thank you very much for opening this discussion. And I think that this is a problem of all parents, that they're worrying, like if they're living in non-Muslim countries, even in Muslim countries, the condition is almost the same. I mean, you might not see it openly, but everyone has tendencies to the
exactly.
opposite sex. So they will obviously have, like, be doing something, but they might not come and tell you. So it's really good if your children feel comfortable enough to come and mention it to you, and
exactly.
you have a solution for it. However, I think we have to make a distinction here in the discussion that we are having, okay? You are rightly saying that Islam is looking at things realistically. At this age, you have a need, you have to have it met. Otherwise, it's going to come out of other ways, and you're going to fulfill it in unrightful ways, okay? So, like, if you have a teenager who has needs, obviously, don't let them go out there, because really, I mean, all of you who are listening to our voice, you know better than we do that your children are up to something, most of them, not all of them. They're really, really exceptions who can actually keep themselves and preserve everything for the legal,
yeah.
Formal marriage that we all know, and there's a celebration, and they start their life. But at the teenage, they are not aliens. They are human beings, and they have needs and desires, so they will go and fulfill it. So it's really good if, among us Shia families, you know, we have this as a privilege, if the mother and father of the two sides could sit together and say, okay, we're going to have this boy and girl together, and we're going to make sure there's nothing wrong going on.
Exactly.
We're going to make sure they know how to not, like, have children or all of that
exactly.
information that
you
they
inform
need,
them, yeah.
however they get married. And there's another discussion. This is the second part of the discussion which we want to focus on in this program, and that is the legal age of the formal marriage.
Yeah.
The marriage that you actually, you know, civilly, you register it, you have a celebration, you have people coming to your wedding. What is the age of that marriage? I mean, is there a difference at all?
Culturally and socially, it's not the same age for all countries or communities or societies.
Yes.
It's a big, big difference.
Right.
Unfortunately, in many societies, the age for formal marriage is like the end of education, the beginning of job, the beginning of building and creating an independent life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it happens normally at the age of, 30, 32, 35, things like that. You know, 2-3 years before or after 30, almost this.
Right.
I remember an interesting statistics coming from Iranian official government. It's an official statistics that between the natural puberty or maturity and the real age for formal marriage, almost 15 years period.
Right.
And it's a lot. It's a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
15 years. Can you keep boys and girls silent?
Obviously,
you keep boys and girls angels?
It's going to lead to corruption, obviously.
Of course, there will be. And in some riwayat from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from Aimmat Ahlul Bayt, the infallible Imams, it says that if you don't do this, تَكُنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. There will be big, big corruption. 15 years is not a joke, and it's a big crime.
I just want to share something with our listeners. This is a very interesting statistics I got from U.S. Bureau of Census. It compares the age of marriage in America, United States of America, from 1890 to 2010. In the year 1890, men were regularly, the average age of marriage for men was 26.1, and for women it was 22 years. In the 1950s and 1960s, then it decreases the age of marriage. We come to 22.8 for men and 20.3 for women. And then in 2010, we have 28.2 and 26.1, respectively, for men and for women. So in the year 2010, the average age of marriage for men was 28.2, and for women it's 26.1. So we have like 2 years for men and 4 years for women increase in the age of marriage.
Mm-hmm. So you see, in all communities, in all societies, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, if you delay the age of marriage as it is nowadays, as formal marriage, it could be 10 to 15 years period.
Right.
Okay? And it's damaging.
Yes.
It's a corruption. So we need to take care of this. And I believe the good solution is the one which is afforded by Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من حق الولد على والده ثلاثة. Each child has three rights upon their parents. يُحَسِّنُ إِسْمَهُ. First,
finding
choosing,
good name.
Finding good, beautiful name. يُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ. Affordance and providence of education at the minimum. وَيُزَوِّجُهُ إِذَا بَلْغَ. And make them married, get them married if they are mature enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right of children upon parents. Look at the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like write the education. Like write the name. Okay? Right for marriage is a right. Besides, put these three together. Then you know that what is the social problem, which is going to be a big corruption for us, is that we consider marriage as something like finding a good bringing income job. Like almost something at the end of the life.
Mm-hmm.
At the middle of the life. But it's not the end or middle of the life. It's a need. And you have to be careful.
Okay.
You have to meet it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sorry, just one more.
Okay.
One more narration from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show you the, carefulness of Islam, Islamic teachings with regard to marriage. And sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad said, "Fit Torah maktub." It's not the Islam. Even for the Jews, it is written in their divine scriptures. Man balagat ibnatuhu isnatay asharata sanatan falam yuzawwijha. If you have a girl with the age of 12 and you don't get her married, فأصابت إثما فإثم ذلك عليه. And she gets corrupted by crimes and sins, the corruption and sins will be the responsibility and on the shoulder of the parent.
Thank you very much. We're going to go for a short break and we'll be right back. Muslim Family, a program from the Call of Islam.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked how can we share what's not enough, she said the heart of a Muslim's filled with love. He said it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow, that some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright, for the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the program Muslim Family you are listening to. I'm Fatima Shamili, the host of this program, and we are with Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili as the expert of our program. Dr. Shamili, in the previous part, we were talking about the age of marriage. To review what you were saying, you said that according to Islam, the age is right for marriage in which the person has reached puberty, has reached maturity, and finds in himself or herself the urge or need to exactly. Emotional needs and to sexual needs. So I think that has made it clear, and we covered the topic that we promised our listeners to talk about. Now, we know that in today's world, life is really hard, and we see that the age of marriage is increasing by the day. Data that I was sharing with you, the age of first marriage for American men in 1890 was 26.1, and in 2010 is 28.2. How would you analyze the pathological aspect of this issue?
Yeah, thank you very much for switching to the second part of the discussion, because normally when we talk about the age of marriage, it would be better to divide it into two major parts. Mm-hmm. Normative aspect of age of marriage and pathological aspect.
Okay.
What are the norms? What are the rules? What are the laws for different aspects of marriage, including the age? Mm-hmm. You know, normatively. We almost cover this part to the extent that we could provide some information based on the time that we have.
Okay.
But it would be better to switch to the pathological aspect of age. To my understanding, we need to begin the pathology of age of marriage with two, three major concepts mm-hmm. in the Islamic teachings. First, culture of responsibility in Islam. Second, the meaning for family membership. And third, the meaning and the concept of family size in Islam. You don't understand the pathology of the age if you don't understand these three concepts. You know, to me, when you talk about the pathology, you need to be very careful that in Islam, family and society by and large, at the second step, carry a culture. And that culture is cultural responsibility. It's not the matter of, you know, puberty, that when your boy or your girl arrive at the age of 15, or nowadays in most of the countries they talk about the age of 18.
Yes, legal.
You know, when you apply for a visa and you want to take your family and you go to an embassy and your boy or your girls are at the age of 18, they don't consider them as your family member. They say they're independent, they're by themselves. In Islam, this is not the case. The age is not the matter. Okay, you are responsible with regard to the boys and girls up until the time that they live with you. And even after they left the family, still you are responsible to supervise, to provide consultation, you know, to provide help and things like that. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'yatihi." I ask brothers and sisters who are listening to this program to go and do a bit research about these prophetic saying. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi," provide some examples. And one example is members of the same family.
Mm-hmm.
That parents and members are responsible from one another. You know, not to leave them alone. Not to leave them helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first, culture of responsibility.
Okay. And before we move on to family membership, I think that's the second topic you're going to talk about. I just want to say something. And that is the fact that we should not think that, correct me if I'm wrong, of course. We should not think that, okay, well, our children are children and they're still 18 and they don't know and they're still children. It depends on how you bring up your children. You know, like if we look at the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, and for example, if your daughter or son is small, you ask them to help them around, around the house, to like help their mom and help their dad, each of them in their own responsibilities. So from the early age, And there are a lot of teachings in our narrations and a lot of stories that we read that practically, you know, just like what you said last session about from the age of two, teach him to say La ilaha illallah, and then, step by step guideline to parents. It's the same case. I mean, it depends. If you look at your 10-year-old as a child, well, definitely she or he himself or herself will consider themselves children. But if from that early age you teach them that, no, you're mature and I consider you a wise girl or a wise boy, and I expect you to do certain things and not to do certain things. So obviously, by the age of 18, 20, these people will be more mature in comparison to, their classmates, and they will definitely come to be feel more the need and accept the legal agreement of marriage. Yeah. As we said in previous sessions, we have our Khoja community. They get their children married at young ages, and the ratio of divorce in them, I think, is very low.
Yeah.
And they have really good families. Why? Because they teach their children the responsibility. You know, you're 18. It's not that you can only get your driver's license, let's say, or you have your legal rights. You're a grown-up, and we have expectations from you. So you have to meet some requirements.
Yeah. You know, not in Muslim societies, but in all societies, Muslim or non-Muslim, family is an environment of give and take. So whatever you take, you have to provide something in return.
Yes.
Okay? So when I talk about responsibility of parents, I'm not talking about, you know, living and considering boys and girls as immature, you know, needy people. So all the time you are the responsibility. No, I'm saying that when they are arriving at the age of puberty and they are the addressee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for obligation, they are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own responsibility. But to some extent,
you have to teach them.
To what extent?
Yeah.
You have to teach them. You have to help them to arrive at your puberty.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage is a big job.
And what better example than
the
life of mother and father?
They need
in the house.
Not to feel helpless.
Yeah.
Not to feel alone. Not to feel isolated. And this is the culture of support
and
culture of care.
Also, as you're saying, you're talking about support and care. A lot of couples, young couples, they don't feel close to their parents, so they go to their friends for counseling. And like the girls
and
would go,
come up
"Well,
with,
don't,
know, wrong
don't do
solutions.
This to him, and
exactly.
don't make him get used to this." Yeah. And the boys' friends would say, "Don't do this for her. You know, she'll be expecting more from you." But when they talk to their parents, they're more experienced and they love their children. You know, so it always has to be the case that. For if the boy goes to his parents to talk about the girl, oh, like she's been doing this, the family support the girl, like
exactly.
the daughter-in-law or their own daughter that, well, no, you know, and they talk separately to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
These are guidelines that we really should consider in our lives. Like if the girl goes to her mom and says, you know, my husband did this, then the mother should say, well, look at the bright side, look at the good aspects that he has. And, you know, alleviate
exactly.
the pain.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to just levelize the concept of responsibility.
Yeah.
When I talk about the responsibility of parents, it does not mean that, you know, the children and the kids are not responsible.
Right.
They have their own responsibility. But at some higher stages and, you know, levels, they are in need of, you know,
mm-hmm.
consultation, information, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is first. And second, family membership.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that family is give and take, is a process of give and take. So If we look at family membership, then you don't say your girl or your boy at the age of 15 or 18 or 20, sorry, this is all I could do.
You have to move out.
You know, you have to, you know, do your best. You know, I can't. I can't go beyond this. And this is the problem and the crime of homeless and street sleeping kids and children in Western countries and in many, you know, so to speak, developed countries. Why? Because family membership is a special meaning. It has a special concept. In Islam, family membership stays up until the end. You have to provide something to your parents. They did their best for you, then you need to give back.
Yeah.
And when you stay interrelated, then you have the support from both sides.
Exactly.
Okay? And so because of this, in Muslim families, when you look at the family size, you think that it's a almost big family. You know, there are grooms, brides, and you know, people come to 30, 40, see one family, consider. You know, it has a director, a boss, someone who's taking care of, and you know, interrelationship between all members. So this family size bring emotional support.
Yes.
You know, good dream, hope, satisfaction.
Yes.
And things like that.
A big expectancy of their life and themselves.
I was talking in my previous session about the, you know, responsibility of parents with regard to boys and girls. And you ask me that, Mr. Shamiri, are you talking about a culture that you put girls and boys in a way that they are, you know, workless, you know, without any motivation, without any job, without any activity? You know, it's a point of zero.
Right.
No, I'm not talking about this. Each and every of us has his or her own responsibility. But if someone came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and Prophet was talking about the responsibility of parents. زَوِّجُوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَبَنَاتِكُمْ. You need to get involved, your boys and your
girls in marriage. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I hope our listeners ponder upon it a little bit more. We thank you very much for being with another program of Muslim Family. Today, we talked about the age of marriage and the responsibility of parents towards their children to get them married. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for being with us. May the peace and blessings of Allah shower upon you all.
For the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.